and noted the eight major points. Roman numeral 1 was the new commandment. Roman numeral 2, what is spiritual love? Roman numeral 3, spiritual love is the more excellent way. 4, a life without love. And 5, how to love as Christ loved you. 6, spiritual love is a spiritual alchemizer. 7, spiritual love as a spiritual immune system. And then 8, love is 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. And we spent some time there. Now, then what we did 2 weeks ago, not counting while I was gone, we just ran through the new commandment and saw that segment of our study. And then the next week we looked at what is love and just briefly went through months and months and months, maybe a year or two of teaching, just pulling it together of where we are. And tonight we come to Roman numeral 3. Roman numeral 3. And so let me give to you a little copy of Roman numeral 3. And it's very brief as far as what we did here. So let me give it to you. And you take one to the office and have it for making copies there. Okay. Now, if you look under Roman numeral 3, spiritual love as the more excellent way. Now, at this point, and just in our study, what we did, and, you know, when I was going back over outlining all of this and just sort of where all we've been, because it's been so long, and we get lost as to where we are in the deal. That's why I wanted just to take a couple of hours to pull it all together. I had a lot of fun. My fun was enjoying the journey that the Holy Spirit had given me because, you know, I didn't sit down and know where, in fact, I still don't know where we're going to end up after we finish 1 Corinthians 13. If I haven't died of old age and the rapture doesn't occur, then, you know, we're not through with the various impacts of this. And because to me, you know, God is love. This is the mark of the Christian. This is what our life is about. So we're studying one another. We're studying how to live, marriage, the entire span of what questions we have is right here in spiritual love. So it was a lot of fun just to see the procedure. And we went from new commandment, as you can see on your sheet, that we what is spiritual love, because the new commandment was spiritual love, and what is love. And now we come to Roman numeral 3, spiritual love as the more excellent way. And as you can look here, and then we'll take a brief look for a few moments tonight, the more excellent way, and we'll note this in 1 Corinthians 12:31, it's the superior way of life. And because of that, B, we pursue it. 1 Corinthians 14:1, we should pursue this love, this way of life. Then spiritual love and the fruit of the Holy Spirit, spiritual love and the and spiritual gifts, and the law of Christ. This is the way that the Spirit has taken us through these things. So let's just kind of go through and refresh our memory and look at where we were in this segment. And let's start with 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You'll open the scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and as I said, we'll not, just as we've been doing, we're not spending a great deal of time, but just enough time to get oriented to everything that we're looking at. Now, in 1 Corinthians 12, what is interesting here is that Paul, throughout 1 Corinthians 12, has been dealing with spiritual gifts. And we'll have a few comments to make about spiritual gifts. And at the end of, near the end of this section, because spiritual gifts, very important in the church and this type of thing, but I want to give us a perspective on that. But Paul has been speaking about spiritual gifts because spiritual gifts can cause a lot of trouble. If people are not in the power of the Spirit, they get oriented to spiritual gifts, what their gift is, especially if it's some charismatic thing like tongues and all this thing, and that led to the big discussion, yeah, tongues being a in operation today and this type of thing, which I don't believe they are, but I also don't believe that we are told to malign and judge one another. And so we come to this point in verse 31. Verse 31, where, ironically, if we talk about dividing of chapters, remember chapters and verses are not divinely inspired. But if we look at it, it does come to a conclusion in verse 31, where he pulls together all that he has said, and he says now, but, earnestly desire the greater this. And we looked at zelo'o, to desire, to be zealous, to have them in your assembly, to have these things working in your assembly, and this type of thing. Then he closes with this. And I show you a still more excellent way. As wonderful as spiritual gifts are, there is still a more excellent way. The Greek word more excellent or superior. Now, spiritual gifts are important. They are important. But we got it at the end here, and you'll see. But let me just say this. The main thing you want to remember here is spiritual gifts are important in the function of the assembly. And every one of us have a spiritual gift, at least one. And as we've already studied in a long, long study of spiritual gifts, I love Christians. We love to argue. Everybody just have one spiritual gift, or do they have more? And you can't believe how people are on this. Oh, just one, and man, they're dogmatic on it. And others are this, and others are that. I'm just thankful we have spiritual gifts, and I think people have more than one. But if you don't think so, let's don't break fellowship. You know, let's don't, you know, draw a line in the sand. That's fine. But they function in the church. Now, spiritual love, though, is superior. Why is it superior? Well, people, one of the primary reasons, if we just take spiritual gifts and spiritual love is all the time to everyone. Now, spiritual gifts, we could talk about to make some obvious points. Spiritual gifts may just be once in a while. Let's say your spiritual gift is encouraging. Well, you may go a week without having anybody and then run into somebody who needs it. Let's say your spiritual gift is helping in the assembly in various ways. And so you come and do that. Whatever your spiritual gift is, you will use it occasionally. Spiritual gift is giving. Well, occasionally, you know, you give to the church, and occasionally you'll give to individuals. But spiritual love, 24 hours a day, as it were. Spiritual love is to everybody. It's not just, if I have the spirit, somebody has the spiritual gift of encouragement, something like that, well, you've got to come across somebody who needs. But spiritual love is something that everyone needs all the time. So that's why it is here given, that's one of the reasons, it is here given as a superior, a more excellent way of life. So we have superior or more excellent. The word is hyperbole. It's just the extraordinary quality. It's superior. This is the new commandment of love. Is this superior way of life. And we, at this point, spend some time on why this is the more excellent way. So let me hand this out to you, and I'll have to make another copy as far as passing it out to the, if we pass it out in the mail, because my copier, I don't know what happened, the copier has this black. But let's just give you these real quick, and we'll work our way through these. And you can take one, and maybe we can mark that out in the bottom. But I made these up for you just to give you a look at what we looked at some time ago in this being the more excellent way, the superior way of life. So let's just quickly run down through it and spend a few moments on this. We'll not spend a great deal of time tonight, but just orient ourselves to this section. Okay. We know that, first of all, this is the more excellent way because it is the way of reality. What I mean by that is, this is who and what you are. This is what you are. Spiritual love is living according to what you are in Christ. This is not something you and I choose to do. This is in reality of who we are in Christ. The way of life that most people pursue is not reality, not the superior way of life. This is reality with God, with Christ, with the world. As you relate to all of these things, loving as Christ loved is the realm of reality. Spiritual love is a more excellent way because it centers on you being loved by Christ, constantly thinking of Christ. This is reality. What is reality to you? Reality is who I am in Christ. And that comes through when we love as Christ loved. So this is reality as to who and what you are, and we spend some time developing that and studying that aspect of spiritual love is the realm of reality of who and what we are in Christ. Secondly, very important in the world today because people always wanting to, they're not all people, many people are into a control thing. They want to control others. They want to control their environment. They want to control their family. And it becomes very frustrating when they cannot control people. And it's frustrating to those around them when they do seek to control. And what's beautiful here is it says, we can, and I'll give you a brief synopsis here, very brief, of our study on this. But we can't control our environment. We can't control people around us. We can't control all the circumstances. We can't control God. Let's just put it to the back there. So, since we cannot do that, what spiritual love does is put you in control of your own soul, regardless of what's going on around you. So if someone sins against you, since that's what we have studied so often, someone sins against you, you can't control that. You can't control whether someone's going to sin against you, whether somebody's going to fail, someone's going to let you down. So what has God given to us? He's given us something that puts us in control. He has given to us spiritual life. It puts you in control. You're not just as the desert seaweed or tumbleweed. You're not just tossed about depending on what's going on. This puts you into control of your own soul, regardless of what's happening in your world. Spiritual love, people, allows you not to have to control others. Spiritual love allows us not to have to control others. We can love. This is why love is long-suffering. So what God has given to us is really something phenomenal. I was taught and used to teach that, you know, love had no norms and standards, and love had no bite, love had nothing strong, that it was righteousness and justice in this. But as I look into Scripture, love is what's powerful. And that's what we're going to study when we see love is long-suffering, love is kind, love is all, that gives us all of these things. So what God has given to us when He gave us spiritual love, He gave us something that put us in control. Now, the third that you have here, spiritual love is a superior way of life because it draws attention to Christ. It draws attention to Christ. When you and I love someone in spiritual love, it is not our love. It's not who and what we are. They are being drawn to the love of Christ. They're being drawn to the way that Christ loves. So, without big sermons and without, you know, the creeds and all of this type of thing, if you just love someone as Christ loves you in spiritual love, you're drawing them to Christ. They are seeing how Christ loves. So, you don't really have to say a whole lot. They touched by this. They want to know what is this that is happening to them. So, what is the superior way of life? Because people, even spiritual gifts, have their place. But spiritual love just says, God, Christ is love. God is love. Boom, here it is. This is what love looks like. This is why I challenge people: how you deal with one another in life is your view of how God loves. If you treat someone this way, you treat someone that way, you're saying this is how God loves. So we always want to be careful. When you walk away, do people know how Jesus Christ loves? Okay, then we noted, and before I didn't have any other way to put it, except the whole epistle of 1 John. 1 John is about spiritual love. We saw the goal, as I've tried to summarize a lot of our study here, the goal, that you have His joy, chapter 1, that you not sin, chapter 2, verse 1, to reveal that you know Him, that you keep His commandments, that you are abiding in Christ, that you walk in a manner that he walked. And how do we do all of these things? We have all these things by spiritual love. When you are doing spiritual love, you will not sin. When you do spiritual love, you're not going to sin against someone. If love cannot wrongfully hurt anyone, it cannot do it. It is impossible for spiritual love to wrongfully hurt another person. So we studied that. And when you love as Christ loved, it reveals that you know him. You're keeping his commandment to love as he loved, the new commandment, the foremost commandment. You walk in a manner that he walked. How did he walk? He walked in love. So we studied the flow through all of these things. And without spiritual love, your life is a life of lies. We'll see later, a life without love. And many Christians claim they live a great Christian life, but it's without love. They lie. They're deception. They're deceiving themselves and everyone else that they claim, because only in love do we live as Christ lived. So 1 John was powerful, and then the last thing is, you'll note there, he makes it very clear, where there is love, there is no fear. And there's just so many things that causes us to fear in life, but if we are allowing the Spirit to pour in this love by faith, where there is love, there is no fear. Then we noted under point 5, very important point in this respect, and that is dealing with two things. We combined two things here, and they're taken from other studies. Utility, for example. It gives utility to everything that we do. Okay, let's just talk. You give money. Without spiritual love, nothing. You pray. You witness. You utilize your spiritual gift. But if you do not have love, you're nothing. 1 Corinthians 13:1-3 is a life without love. You may know a whole lot of doctrine, but without love, you don't know anything. You may speak with the voice of angels, which is very important, but without love, you say nothing. So you say nothing, do nothing, are nothing. So what we want to do is give utility to everything that we do. In other words, we want to make it useful in the spiritual warfare. Give it utility. And spiritual love does that. And then that second word, useful, deals with you. Utility is what we do. Usefulness is what we want to be in the plan of God and in the spiritual warfare and in our history and our life. We want to live our lives when our life is over, from God's perspective, to have been useful in the spiritual warfare. The only way your life is going to be useful is in spiritual love. And so we spend some time in that respect. So it makes you useful and gives utility to everything that we do. Six. Somewhat like points 1 and 2, but just putting it together, it is spiritual love that gives you strength. It is spiritual love that gives strength. It makes you strong, not weak. It makes you strong. I kind of always was taught with the implication that love's the weak side, love's this, and it's the holiness of God that has the strength and the power and these kind of things, until I started examining Scripture. And if we just study Scripture, it's spiritual love that makes you strong. For an example, somebody keeps offending you, and your love is long-suffering. Long-suffering. That makes you strong. You're not weak. Somebody sins against you, you don't fall apart. You don't collapse. You don't seek revenge. You don't stumble. You just keep on loving in spiritual love. It makes you strong. Spiritual love bears all things. Now, we haven't studied that yet, but just the concept in our mind, that makes you strong. Trusting man can't bear all things. Trust cannot bear the breakdown of trust. So it is spiritual love that gives us strength and makes us strong. That's a powerful point, but just reiterating it. 7. Spiritual love is the superior way of life, or the more excellent way of life, because it guides. Oh, people, another area of argument, debates and books, and that's divine guidance. Divine guidance. And there are books written on it, and people argue it and debate it, and how do I know what God wants me to do, and all these types of things. Spiritual love died. Spiritual love died. Loving others as Christ loved you. So many areas of life, we are guided in the circumstances of life by spiritual love. It is spiritual love that will tell you what to do. I don't know what to do in every circumstance. You give me a circumstance, and I can hypothesize, as we all can, but I don't know. But boy, if you're walking in the Spirit, and He's pouring in spiritual love, and you come into that situation, boom, it'll guide you. This is what love will do. This is what love will do. As opposed to, this is what law will do. Kind of make my point. I know what law will do here. And I know what righteousness would do, but we're guided by spiritual love. It will guide us in dealing with family, friends, husbands, wives, all these circumstances that come up in life. Spiritual love is the more excellent way, or the superior way of life, for the eighth reason. People, it's every moment of your life. Every moment you're awake. Now, I don't know what happens to married couples when they're sleeping, but in dreams and stuff. But when we're awake, now in our waking moments, every minute, spiritual love is a very important part of our life. In every relationship, every circumstance. The moment we wake up with husband and wife, then you go to family, and then work, and social life, church, people that we just meet in life, buying, selling, going to the grocery store, going here, going there, and different problems arise, all of this type of thing. It's every moment of your life. It's every moment, every person you come in contact with. Everything. It's just every moment. See, more excellent way. Always remember, he's talking about spiritual gifts, but there's a more excellent way. Spiritual gifts are... to kind of make my point, now we study spiritual gifts and we all have responsibilities of them, but let's push it to make my point. Somebody has a spiritual gift of hospitality or the spiritual gift of comfort or something like that, but this is needed every moment. This is needed every moment. I may use my spiritual gift only occasionally. Let's just take the pastor. All right, my spiritual gift when I sit down and study, and when I come here and teach, and when I do some shepherding in the assembly. But there are other areas of my life that are not involved with that. Spiritual love is demanded. It's demanded every part of our life, every moment. Such a superior way. Spiritual gifts are occasionally. Spiritual love is all the time. Okay? It's a superior way of life, and this is beautiful. Because it is extended to everyone. It is extended to everyone. Those close to you who need it so dearly. Those who are unfamiliar to you. Those that you come in contact with in any place in life. Everyone needs spiritual love. It is to everyone. Christ died for all. And people, I don't care who it is, everyone is in need of spiritual love. Your husband is in need of spiritual love. Your wife is in need of spiritual love. Your family, your friends, people you come in contact with in life. Everyone is in need of spiritual love, what spiritual love gives to them. So this is for everyone. So it's a superior way of life. See, let's talk about spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts, let's say you have a gift of help. And somebody really doesn't need help in the sense of a spiritual gift, but they need your spiritual love. They may not need your encouragement, but they need your spiritual love. They may not need your money giving, but they need your spiritual love. So this is something everyone needs. Everyone, not just somebody hurting, everyone needs spiritual love. And then finally, we spend a few time on number 10. Spiritual love is the more excellent way, the superior way of life, because it is a life of faith. It is a life of walking by faith in the Holy Spirit, trusting the Holy Spirit, to guide us, to lead us, and to pour in this love, and to give us this love. So we spend some time in that respect. Now, with that in mind, therefore, we skip chapter 13, and we're going to go and study it later, but we jump to chapter 14. We jump to chapter 14. And it was in chapter 14 that we saw a very interesting exhortation. And that is, pursue love. Yet desire earnestly spiritual, and it has the gift and concept, but especially that you may prophesy. Now, we've dealt with the other part, but what we centered here is pursue love, diakos, to actually hear it, to actually do something about it. You can desire and not do anything about it. But to pursue, that word here, you recall, meant to actually do something about it. You do something here in your life. And what is so important is, what do we do to pursue spiritual love? And what do we do? What do we do to pursue love? Walk in the Spirit by faith. So you want to do that because you always want to pursue. That's why I told you, if you want to increase spiritual love in your life, you increase walking by faith. That's what you do. Because the spiritual love is the manifestation of faith. It's the work of faith. We saw it in chapter 5, verse 6, nothing else matters but faith expressing itself in love, NIV. So if I want to increase my love in my life toward anyone, everyone, because I feel like, oh, it's just not there, well, how can I do that? Do I get more doctrine? Do I try to be a better person? Do I change my thinking of this and all this? No, what you want to do is walk by faith in the Spirit. Have a closer relationship with God the Holy Spirit, who will pour in this love, pour in the memory of how Jesus Christ loves you, and boom, you will increase your love. So you increase the areas in your life. We saw this in Thessalonians. You increase the areas of your life where you're walking by faith, you magnify and you increase the magnitude of love in your life. Remember, we studied that in the crisis of faith. So if I am not walking by faith in one area of my life, whatever it may be, money or something, then they're not going to see love there. So how do I get love in that area of my life? Start walking by faith in that area of your life. That's how you get love in that area. And when you walk by faith, as you walk by faith, the Holy Spirit starts pouring in love. So the important thing here was, how do we pursue spiritual love? We saw a lot of things, but they all came up to deal with spiritual love. We saw here, pursue love, 1 Corinthians 14:1. We saw pursue things that make for peace and the building up of one another. And that's spiritual love, Romans 14:19. Philippians 3:14, pursue the goal for the prize. And what is the goal for the prize? Spiritual love. 1 Thessalonians 5:15, pursue that which is good for one another. What is good for one another? Spiritual love. So, and then Hebrews chapter 12:14, 1 Peter 3:11, pursue peace with all men. How do we pursue peace with all men? Spiritual love. So, we want to pursue spiritual love. Pursue it. Okay. Then, we studied after that, after pursuing love, we looked at spiritual love and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Well, we won't take time right now to go to it, but Galatians chapter 5 deals with, and we spent a lot of time here, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we spent time where love is the first thing mentioned. It's sort of the head title for all of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, these things. And so we related it with all of the fruit of the Spirit that are mentioned there. Not all, because I don't think that list is complete of all the fruit of the Spirit as we studied that. But spiritual love is one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Then we look at spiritual love and spiritual gifts. Spiritual love and spiritual gifts. And we noticed several things. Let's just go over them rather quickly. God has given to everyone at least one spiritual gift to serve in the body. To serve in the body. Spiritual gifts are given not for you, they are given for others. That's very important. Spiritual gifts are not for you. Spiritual gifts are for others, so that you can serve others in a local assembly. If we were studying spiritual gifts, I like to deal with Adam Smith's place out there, and people learn what they can do, what they can do to contribute in a laissez-faire atmosphere. What can I do for you to make money? So what Adam Smith did was he figured out a system, an economic system that would go with our political system, and that was what was so... American history is just incredible. Incredible. On the one hand, the men came up with an incredible, unbelievable system of government, and then turned around, you have a republic, Benjamin Franklin said, you have a republic if you can keep it, and we didn't keep it. But they came up with an unbelievable concept of government called a republic. Well, that's the government end of it. You need an economic end of it, too. And as God would have it, across the water was a man named Adam Smith, and he was writing Laissez-faire Capitalism. But one of the things in Laissez-faire Capitalism is, this is interesting. A lot of people like to say that capitalism is greed. Well, you know, we deal with the sin nature, we deal with man at that point, but I like the way Adam Smith dealt with it, and that's this. If I want to make money, I have to think about you. I have to look at all of you and say, what can I do for you? What do you need that I can do where you will pay me? You will give me money or exchange of commodities, whatever the case might be. Well, I can make shoes. And most all people have two feet. So I'll make shoes, and you need feet. I mean, you need shoes. So for your feet. And, well, I can do this for you. I can do that. Food. And, but, you know, the basic things, and then you go to things even beyond that, and then you just keep going to medicine, to science, to teaching, to entertaining, all kinds of things. But the heart of it is, I got to think about you. Now, in God giving to us a spiritual gift, He gave it so that we serve one another. A lot of people think about what's my spiritual gift. No, it's not for you. It's for the assembly. Secondly, every local assembly is dependent upon spiritual gifts of the believers in that assembly. Every local assembly, even as small as ours is dependent upon believers using their spiritual gifts. Three, God has given to every local assembly the gifts necessary for the fulfillment of God's plan for that assembly. Four, God has given everyone the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He's given the Holy Spirit to everyone to activate the spiritual gift. And then finally, God has given, through the Holy Spirit, spiritual love to alchemize your spiritual gift. In other words, you use your spiritual gift, but if you use it in love, it becomes a great benefit to the other person. Then we close this section with the law of Christ. The law of Christ. Where is the law of Christ? Does anybody remember? Okay, good. Let's look at Galatians. Gives me another chance to turn to Galatians. I love it. Let's look at Galatians chapter 6 and see the law of Christ in operation. Galatians chapter 6. Okay, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, so we're talking to believers, even if a man, another believer, is caught, actually caught, in any trespass, and remember the two ways in which that can be translated, both are bona fide. One means that you actually catch him in the act of sin. The other means that he himself is caught up in a pattern of sin. So either one is fine and either one works. I like to emphasize both, because a lot of people, well, he's just that's a pattern of sin, that type of thing, so that gives you ground for attacking him. No, it doesn't matter. We can take this as caught up in a trespass, or you catch him. Okay. You who are spiritual, filled with the Holy Spirit, walking in the Spirit, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, not in a spirit of judgment, but considering him and dealing with him. Each one looking to yourself, lest you to be tempted to what? To become the law, judge, malign, attack. Now, bear one another's burdens, and thus fulfill the law of Christ. Okay, very simple question. What did Jesus Christ do for us on the cross? Okay, what was he doing on the cross? Look at the verse. What was he doing for us? What was he doing on the cross? Okay?
Bearing
our burden. Bearing the burden of sin. This time, the passage deals with bearing one another's burdens or the burdens of sin. So Jesus Christ bore our burdens. He picked them up off of us and put them on himself. That's what he did. And thus fulfill the law of Christ. And the cross is about God demonstrating his love. We know love by this, that Christ laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our life for one another. All these passages come together. They just keep coming and blending together. So what is the law of Christ? The law of Christ is spiritual love. The law of Christ is spiritual love in action, especially toward another believer when they are in trouble, because people, that's the heart of our whole message. That's the heart of our entire message, is the cross. And what happened on the cross? He picked up and bore our burden. Most Christians want to pound each other down with burden. Well, you sin, and keep each other down. Jesus Christ lifts up our burden so that we can lift up in him, rise up in him. And we spend a lot of time, we have lots of study, a lot of points on the law of Christ, but this is where it came into our study. So, spiritual love as the more excellent way, the superior way of life, therefore we pursue it, and then we saw it relates to our fruit of the Spirit, spiritual gifts, and the law of Christ. Closing a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's astounding when we start flowing through this quickly, all that comes to the picture in regard to spiritual love. Aren't there a whole lot of other things? And the answer is yes. And they all become a manifestation of this love. Not sinning, if we walk in love, helping one another, serving one another, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Every aspect, divine guidance, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to act? Love does not act unbecomingly. The Christian church throughout its history, Father, has been looking and looking and looking, and thousands upon thousands of books written. How to live a Christian life, what's a Christian life, do this, do that, husband, wife, going at it from the standpoint of one's personality, going at it from the standpoint of one's sex, going to just so many different directions. And the secret's lying right there. To love one another. And God has loved you. We praise you, Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen. Okay. Will you take the tapes to the office?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.